It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Okay, apologies for the technical difficulties, but I got to tell you, I was so unimpressed personally with how I started the show. I didn't think everybody else was that upset about it, but then they just yanked the plug and said, okay, we need a hard reset here.
We should have come back to the show with me just talking like we still thought we were on the air.
We pick up this very special blossom.
And this is the reason why the power play did not work and then nobody heard it. Mm-hmm. I just went on a full spiel and you know what though? If we're licking our lips and making some funny noise because while we were off the air for technical difficulties and the break, Duffer and I went into our turkey leg and supreme turkey leg, so we got a little taste, and we may pull the plug finish our meal that we're having
wow.
right now.
So thanks again.
It is lunchtime.
Yes, it is. And honestly, it's a very strange time, not just for the show. Just when you spend so much time in Europe the way they did,
yeah,
and then you get the games, boom, boom, and you don't get the results. And then you have the long trek back, and you have days off, and then is it hurry up and wait? Or, like, what do you think it feels like right now for the guys on the ice at the game not being till Thursday? Is that, like, best-case scenario? Because, and especially with injuries, they're able to, I don't know, take a deeper breath and reset as opposed to just, you know, kind of getting forced back into it here, if that makes any sense.
This is a unique situation, and I don't know that anybody can say, oh, I've experienced that in 2012 or in right. 2019 where, you know, we went over to Europe and then we had some injuries. It's very unique. Would I prefer to start now? Okay, let's come back. Let's have a couple of days of practice. Let's have the game at home. Let's have Saturday at home.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is the preferred situation for Lindy Ruff and his club is that, okay, let's put in the work. This morning, they put in a power play practice over at Harbor Center before the main practice here at KeyBank Center, mm-hmm. and they still did power play practice at KeyBank Center. Why? Because over at Harbor Center, it was more, okay, let's go through some of the things on power play we want to do without any defenders. Just let's go through the rhythm. But now we're going to bring it over here. Mm-hmm. So they have that the facilities to be able to put in more work.
Right.
When they were in Czechia, a lot of time we saw them getting dressed at the main rink, having to take a bus, go to another rink. You're a little limited in the things that you can do, which is no excuse because it's not like New Jersey was given more facilities to work on. It was the same thing. Mm-hmm. New Jersey looked really good. The Sabres did not look good. Now you got to find a way. You got to look at the numbers. You got to look at what areas of the game did not work well, which is a lot of areas in the game, especially offensively. Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to find a solution early on to those issues. Right before we went off the air, we asked, is it the injuries? Is it the power play? I think the injuries are number one, but it's not an excuse. I'm not going out there making an excuse. Hey, you know, it's okay they lost two games because they suffered injuries to Obi Kubel, Paterka, and Benson. No, it's not okay. Does it affect your lineup? Yes. Does it affect your special teams? Yes. But it's not okay. You can't use injuries because, you know what? Hey, the Devils didn't have Andre Palat in the second game because he went home for the birth of his child and all of that. So they were dealing with roster situations as well, and they still look good.
Brett Pesce, Luke Hughes,
yeah, two on the back end too. So you can compare the lineups. The Devils pushed, played well. The Sabres, on their heels, did not.
Are you now in wake of that, and it's, you know, a few days, are you surprised?
I'm very surprised. Although I look at my personal experience going over to Europe, and like I've told you before, the first 4 or 5 days, 6 days, I felt great. Mm-hmm. And then the second week, I was having a hard time sleeping. It's like the clock cut back to me. It's like that excitement wore off. And again, this is not, the Sabres shouldn't have gone so early, whatever. It's about the results, right? Mm-hmm. You go and you win two games, and all of a sudden, well, they did it right. You lose two games, they didn't do it right. It doesn't matter. But when I look at the numbers in the two games, there's a lot of numbers that are really, really sticking out as where the offense has to improve and how scoring one goal in each game, and really one goal in two games, because the Tage Thompson goal in game two, if the Devils were to challenge for goaltender interference, I believe they win that challenge.
Really?
Because Jordan Greenway absolutely snowplowed with a stick Jake Allen back into the net, and the puck was not on its way there. It was sitting in the crease, and Tage Thompson, after the snowplow, pushed the puck in.
Yep.
I think that goal probably comes off the board. So now you're looking, hey, we really scored one goal in two games, and it was Owen Power, you know, with Bo Byram behind the net. That's what happened in those two games.
So it's going to be the recurring theme, regardless of whether they end up getting back on individual paces of, you know, career highs or if they continue to struggle. So, like, let's identify what you saw. We'll start with the guys on the top line in Thompson and Tuck and, you know, what they could or couldn't do against a New Jersey team that I think it's very fair to say, especially knowing with Pesce and Hughes eventually coming back, like they do look like a very, very, very deep team. So, you know, but guess what? There are many of those. So in your mind, like what do 72 and 89 have to do here to get it looking more like, you know,
I felt like
at any point in the
Thompson
in the
and Tuck were trying to get too close to the net often. And what the closer you get to the net, the good defensive team are going to shut it down. Mm-hmm. And we showed on the Telestrator Saturday, Tage on a 2-on-1 could have taken a shot 25, 27 feet out, and he tried to get within 15 feet. And by that point, there's a defenseman, there's a goalie. So, and you look at the power goal in game one. It's a long-range shot from Tage Thompson that rebounds off of Jacob Markstrom that goes in. It's not let's try to get closer with the puck. It's when we get the puck there, let's have people at the net. Look at the Tage Thompson goal in game two. It's Alex Tuck who shoots it from far out. It goes off Thompson, off Greenway skate, and then it finds. Like, don't try to get so close to the net to always have that perfect look. Sometimes throwing a puck from outside with players at the net is more important than you trying to get to the net. But having said that, the Sabres in the two games had three grade A scoring chances. Three. That's it. It was Greenway and Thompson on the Thompson goal, and it was Tuck on the deflection in game one. So if you're looking at the top line of Greenway, Thompson, Tuck in game two and Paterka, Thompson, Tuck in game one, that's really the only line that got any grade A chances. So, you know, do they need to produce three or four grade A chances a game? Yeah, but they're the only one that got it done.
And you would assume, although it's not even a fair question right now because of the injuries, but you're assuming patience here among the forward group as far as minimal tweaking and changing the lines as possible here for the next little bit?
I think that's what I would suggest, and I think that's what Lindy Ruff is going to do. Like he mentioned, three lines are being affected, and when you look at what Lindy Ruff has done to his lines coming this morning, he kept Yuri Kulik with Dylan Cousins and Jack Quinn. Basically, saying, Kulik, you're going to take the place of Benson. Mm-hmm. He put Peyton Krebs with Thompson and Tuck. Basically, saying, Krebs, you're going to take the place of J.J. Paterka.
Yeah.
Where Greenway was elevated in game two of Saturday.
Yes.
But now it's Krebs there. So Greenway can stay with McLeod and Zucker. Like, try to keep your lineup as close to what you had it. Mm-hmm. Just put a couple of players in those situations to not change all the work that they've done or tried to do in training camp.
Based on what the goal was for the bottom six, what did you see out of them in the first two games?
Not a lot. And I look, Obi Kubel missed played a half a game.
Yeah.
So it affected that line, Lafferty, Malenstein, and Kubel. I think we saw the best and most of them in preseason. Mm-hmm. And they played a half a game. I don't know that we've seen chemistry now yet from the Zucker, McLeod, and Greenway line. Although Zucker in game one had like 8 or 9 shot attempts.
Had a good power play attempt too.
Yeah, one timer.
Yep.
Like, I felt like Zucker was more noticeable in game one, and then in game two, while Greenway is being elevated after Peterka gets hit, right? So it disrupted the flow there. But I felt like Zucker out of McLeod and Greenway was the most noticeable one in game one, but the bottom two got very much affected in their flow of how they want to play and how they could play with their line mates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it just didn't have any sustained, zone time, if you will.
Game one, New Jersey's bottom six really played well.
I thought they were really good in both games,
well,
honestly.
Game two, it was the top line that really shined.
Eventually. You see, that's the thing. Like, it was a slow build, I felt, for Jack Hughes specifically.
Yep.
But, I mean, yeah, there's just a little bit more experience with the Devils, right? Like, the average age is a couple years higher, 28 to 26, and even how they, reconstructed, it's a very interesting team. And if they get to that point of full health, I firmly believe that they will be one or two in the Metro Division. I think they can easily end up ahead of the Rangers and or Carolina. I really do. I think they're that deep. And if they, again, that defense core, when fully healthy, is going to be something.
I think that defense core will be better offensively with Luke Hughes and Brett Pesce. That's where
Pesce's
right now,
so reliable defensively.
Defensively, like that, but I think their speed there, their skating ability, that's where the defense core of the Devils. But I put the Devils behind the Rangers and Carolina in my preseason prediction. Mm-hmm. But knowing that the Devils are the top of the class in the Metropolitan Division, the top three, and at any moment those three can interchange. They start the season 2-0, they look good. So that's 5-on-5. That's what I saw 5-on-5 mm-hmm. when it comes to the Thompson line, the bottom six. I saw a lot of the defense trying to join the rush, trying to help, but there wasn't enough from the offense, from the forwards, to create when the defense was joining. The 2-on-1 with Thompson in game two mm-hmm. was Clifton joining with Tage Thompson.
Yep.
The power goal in game one was Byram and Power. We saw a lot of guys going up the ice, but nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Even, and that was a big goal, the Dahlin was up on the play, tried to make a pass to Cousins in the slot, fumbles the puck. It goes the other way. They go around Devin Levi. That's the 2-1 goal. Mm-hmm. That was the game-winning goal in Saturday's game. But Dahlin is trying to make something happen offensively. I feel like the defense tried to, but you need your forwards to lead the win in that department. It really wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. And I know I asked you this, and so apologies for...
Was it during technical difficulties?
No, it was probably on heading into night one or night two.
Okay.
But just...
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you are in this situation, as small as it is, which is two games, would you be looking at different pairings? Or do you follow the same kind of script as the forwards? Like, let's be mindful and patient with what we're dealing with, which is a new group, because this is the first full year you're coming out of the training camp with Bo Byram. And
Samuelson
right.
Healthy, where but he's missed sometimes.
But, and you know what? That's funny, because I was going to not dismiss it, but we know what Samuelson is.
Mm-hmm.
But we've debated this. We don't know who he's best suited to be playing with.
Yeah.
But I still think they need, like, you have to really maximize here what you can get out of Dahlin, Power, and Byram, all three of them together, right? So
I felt like Byram and Power really look good together, and that's why I'm not changing anything.
Okay.
Because if there was a change, I'd say let's go back to what we thought before training camp.
Mm-hmm.
It would be Power and Dahlin with Jokiarju and Byram,
yep.
And that's all your top four gets changed. But I feel like Byram and Power played really well,
mm-hmm.
especially Owen Power, where last year there was moments where like, oh, he's just thinking the game slow. His feet are not moving. I felt like in game one and game two of the season right now, and in preseason, he's looked different. And maybe that's because Bo Byram is helping that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I'm not touching the defense because I feel Dahlin has another step. And Dahlin missed a lot of the training camp. With the mid-body injury, played against the Red Bull Munich team, but mm-hmm. it's not an NHL. So he's played two games now. He knows, okay, how do I want to play? And I have a big, big step to take.
Mm-hmm.
So that will help. Dahlin and Jokiarju, fine. As long as Dahlin elevates, Byram Power, good. And look, I thought Connor Clifton was noticeable. I think Matthias Samuelson has more to give. That simple as that. But it's two games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's okay, you lost.
I know, it's hard to even get to that sentence, right?
It's like, two games.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what? I started this season where I was 0-3 or whatever, and I'm like, you know what? I have more to give.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I've got, you know, 55 more starts as a goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
I've got more to give.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, those two games may not matter as much. The difference is, can you really flip it, right? Can you really say, okay, that was two games, let's park him,
mm-hmm.
and now really play the way we want to play?
Goaltending was what?
There's two different answers. And that's, again, that's because there's two games and they both played. I thought Luukkonen was average. I think that he didn't get tested as much. He mm-hmm. made a couple of big saves. Whatever. The numbers will say he was average, and I thought Levi was great. Lindy Ruff's quote this morning is, we wasted a really good goalie performance. A goalie performance that should have stole a point for us, mm-hmm. minimum, maybe even two.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Levi was really good. I think Levi's been great in camp.
Yeah.
I think Luukkonen has had his moments in camp, but it's still early. You find your groove, and then you run with it. I think Lukanen's got plenty of time to get that done, but Levi looked really good.
And the reason that question is worthy of a quick mention, at the very least, is there's now less depth behind
yes.
that duo, based on James Reimer being claimed on waivers yesterday by Anaheim. So we talked a lot last week, as you always do at this time of year, when you have to send players through and whether anybody's going to get claimed. I wouldn't say it was a surprising number across the league of people claimed, but there were enough. There were enough, you know, interesting little moves. What does this mean in your mind that Reimer is now a Duck?
Well, it means more to me to the Anaheim Ducks than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking, okay, Reimer gets picked up by the Ducks because John Gibson has sidelined with the appendicitis. I think his appendix had to be removed. There was a couple of those around the league. So, Caden Goulet in Montreal, and I think Gibson. But, okay, maybe there's more now to the whole Anaheim goalie situation. Lucas Dostal, I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Gibson has been rumored for years now. He wants out this, that, the other thing. I'm almost thinking that Anaheim is looking at how can we just continue to survive without John Gibson, and who knows if he'll ever be back? That's the big question.
What? What do you mean?
I don't know if, like, if Anaheim is going to say, yeah, John Gibson, you're our guy, you're going to play some game. I think they're going to bring in Reimer, have Dostal, and then they may move on from Gibson.
Really?
Yeah. And they'll eat half of his salary, and they will move on from him.
Where's he going?
Well, that's the question. I heard a great quote on radio.
I mean, he's only out 3 to 6 weeks.
Yes.
Like,
and maybe, you know what? Maybe they put Reimer back on waivers.
That's
waiver
all,
and he comes
that's
back
all
to
I
Buffalo.
Have thought the entire time was, well, he's just going to end up back on waivers, and I was eventually going to see if you landed there and was like, oh, he'll be back in 5 weeks.
I have had some big question marks when it comes to the Anaheim Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I don't want to put a big blanket over the media, but I feel like John Gibson has been a media darling a little bit and maybe an analytics darling a little bit for a few years now. I don't think he's that good, and I've said that. You know, I think over the years he was great, and he's gotten older, he's got injured, his numbers have dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like John Gibson is not somebody that the league as a whole, other teams, are looking at, oh, yeah, let's go get John Gibson, and he'll be our answers, right, to our goaltending issues.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the deal hasn't happened. But now I feel like the Anaheim Ducks have to move on. They have to move on from John Gibson, and maybe that door opens by claiming James Reimer.
But he's not just going to disappear. Like, where is he going to go? Who's taking him? Like, that's just, like, guys like him don't just disappear out of the league.
Guys like him don't just disappear. But could the Vancouver Canucks say, okay, well, we'll give John Gibson a try if he's very cheap at half his contract, or if we can even broker a deal with somebody else. Somebody else takes half, we'll pay him a quarter.
Mm.
And now we don't know what Thatcher Demko is going to be healthy enough. But if you're paying $1.5 million or $2 million instead of the $6 million of John Gibson, it's a big difference. I took you down the wrong, a very long road.
No, I'm just incredibly distracted today because I have a gigantic turkey leg.
We haven't touched the power play yet, and I know we like our breaks are a little different now because of.
We haven't.
We haven't touched on the power play.
We kind of did.
Well, I've got lot more to talk about.
You
the
do?
Power play. Yes.
Damn.
I know. Yeah, we have the turkey. Hey, listen, I can talk about the power play.
But
take a bite.
So.
It's not personnel. I don't want to talk about personnel on the power play. I want to talk about structure and what happened.
I want to stay on the goaltending thing.
That's fine. We have plenty. We have half a show left.
It feels like it's been a long one. Do you start Levi or Luukkonen? Is that even a real question right now? It's not, right?
It's not. It is. There's no bad questions. There's just bad answers. It's like there's no bad passes. There's just bad people that receive passes in hockey. No, I think that you go with Luukkonen on Thursday against the LA Kings. You go with Levi Saturday against the Florida Panthers. You split your whole training camp.
Mm-hmm.
They play 90 minutes each, a game and a half each. You split Europe. I think you split those two. And then you give yourself a plan. Mm-hmm. Then you see who shines, who steps up. Now, would I say that Luukkonen is going into the season slightly ahead of Levi? Absolutely. So, you know, kind of like a coach's challenge or replay.
Yeah.
You know, if it's inconclusive, you continue with the call on the ice. I think if they're both equal in the first four games, you continue with Luukkonen, maybe gets two in a row now before Levi gets one. But you keep Levi engaged in that. But if we go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Levi separates himself, even if it's only four games, separates himself, then I think you say, okay, let's take a look. Let's see what we've got. And so it's a great question because people are going to say, oh, who's starting Thursday? Because it's not as obvious as the Rangers would have played, or for example, the Devils coming back from winning two. Who's starting their first game is Jacob Markstrom. He's
of
the
course.
Number one goaltender.
Yeah.
Here, it's not as obvious as that.
No. And I'm kind of, because of that, I'm kind of reluctant to, well, shouldn't say it that way. Do you think Levi feels like he should get the game?
I think that you feel like you should get the game all the time, unless you know your situation and unless you've not played well and, you know, I'm not playing Thursday. Yeah. I know that. If it's a 50-50 situation, you always feel like, well, there's a chance I may play. I want to get that game. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm taking that look from the outside here and basically saying, no, I would go back with Luukkonen and say, hey, you know what? We gave you the contract, and you probably don't even say that in a conversation. You don't start a conversation with a player by saying, hey, we gave you the big contract. You're playing Thursday night. That's not that. Look, you're our guy. You've, you know, proven last year that you can play at the high level. Your camp has not been the best, and the first game was okay. Mm-hmm. But here's an opportunity to take another step forward. Let's see you take another step forward to where you want to be.
Quick perusal of Daily Faceoff shows us next to nothing when it comes to the goaltenders for today's three.
Undecided, unconfirmed, unconfirmed, and likely.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? We have a game at 4:30 this afternoon. And it's
1:30 Seattle time on a Tuesday afternoon. I kind of like that. Start the season in a unique time slot in your local market so everybody knows it's happening.
Yeah.
And then late tonight in Utah.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.